Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Prep Talk podcast hosted by myself, Pete Flips, and Nick Spizak. Today, we have on a very special guest, Grant Owen, an Amazon seller that has put on a masterclass in the content creation space, slowing down his OA operations a bit to focus on creating stunning visuals for everybody within the Amazon space. Welcome, Grant. Thanks for coming on.
What is up? Thanks for the glaze. I appreciate it. I'm here for it.
Oh, the beef is starting already. wanted to kind of get some background on how you got into the Amazon space, and then we'll talk a little bit more about the content side where you're focusing more of your attention now. So how did you get started?
Yeah, I mean, probably like everybody else, I was looking up side hustle stuff. I was in the corporate world for a while, kind of hated it. Didn't hate it. I just was like, I found myself like every 6 months, like figuring the job out and then being like, what's next? And so I like, even when I was in the same company, I would be changing roles every 6 months to a year, and it'd be promotions, but it just was like, I just felt like, okay, after you change like four roles in the same company and you just like kind of like navigate your way up, it's like, okay, well, what's like, what are we really doing? And so I started coming across, entrepreneurial content, and it was real estate stuff. So I first found like Ryan Pineda. That led me to Alex Tremosi, which led me to Gary Vee, which led me to all these other guys. And I was like, frick this. I kind of want to be like these guys. These guys are pretty cool. And so I started digging into it, and I was like, well, I don't have any money to do real estate, so I can't really do that. I don't really have any other skills, so I don't know what to do on these other things. And I had a friend, Kaja Robinson. Kaja and Josh Duntman were doing resale arbitrage. And I started talking to them. They sent me the Buy Box Bandits podcast. They're like, listen to these dorks. They're pretty smart. I like them a lot. And I was like, that's pretty cool. So I started listening to that, and I started eating up. That content. I was like, frick it. I got to do something. I'm not going to just do nothing. So like, even if I hate this, I don't care. Like, this makes the most amount of sense. Kaja and Josh have already bought all the courses. They've already done all the stuff. So I can just skip to the next level. And so that's what I did. So I bought the roadmap. I watched a ton of Fields of Profit content. I watched a bunch of like, I was like, you know what? I don't want to do any RA. I already got a kid. I'm not living that life. So I just want to jump straight to OA. I don't want to do any prepping. And so figured out a situation where Kaja and Josh were going to be my prep center. That was my like in-house prep center. So then I was like, okay, all I gotta do is go find products and get good at this. And I'm like, I can totally do that. I can figure this out. So just at that same time, they were like the first people to buy Miles's like mastermind. They're like the first like group of like one-on-one trainers that he had. And they started to scale because they transitioned completely from RA to OA. And I was like, sweet, that's awesome. I got in, I started doing the Nike sock stuff that everyone does when they first start out. So I got the quick on gates, and then the first Q4 was like the first Black Friday was a blast. And it was when Amazon had that glitch where like you could submit empty PDFs and get ungated for everything. So I hit that. I was like from like 10 PM to like 4 AM. Me and Kaja were just on a call, just like ripping as many ungates. And I got ungated in everything. Everything like immediately. And so from there, I just had to find my first few brands. And I found a few, like, once you find your first like 100% ROI product that you can sell like 400 or 500 of those every month, I was like, I'm in, this is sweet. So first couple months I did, I think like 40K. And then in beginning of last year, I was doing consistent like 40, 50K a month. And then I realized that I liked content. So I started like diving into content. And this was like, I want to say like January. It's like the very beginning of the year. And I was like, I kind of want to do this. Got connected with some people, got connected with some creatives. I was like, I kind of want to start an agency. So I kind of made it happen. Got a few high ticket clients. And as soon as I started focusing on the agency, I was like, how fast can I shut this Amazon business down? So basically Kaja and Josh were like running it for me. And I had a few VAs that were like pretty much doing everything, but it was like, basically I was paying their salaries and I was paying Kaja and Josh to do work. And I was like, the profit margins is like not enough. So I closed it. I think overall I did like probably 400 or 500K rev in like, you know, 8 good months. And I probably could have scaled it, but like just wasn't my thing. So I found myself enjoying the content side of things a lot more.
Grant, let's break that down a little bit though. So even though you mentioned that, you know, the Amazon piece wasn't necessarily the right fit for you, where your passion lied and content was really what it was, can you talk a little bit about what went well, what didn't, and were there any lessons learned that you got from that Amazon experience or being a creative prior to Amazon that said like, hey, these types of things removed limited beliefs? Just kind of walk us through that journey to say, hey, I now know I want to go into content and this is the direction I want to take my life.
It took me like 2 months to realize that the people that were the best at networking were going to make the most amount of money. And so when I saw what people were doing online and I saw how they could do it better, and I was like, oh, I'm actually good at this. I'm good at interpreting this stuff. I'm good at like building this like backend stuff for these people, or at least I have vision for it. Even was before I even started implementing, I was like, I got vision for this. Then I was like, oh, it's done. Because I understood how they were running communities. I was understanding the frameworks of how they're approaching it. I was under the frameworks of like how they're doing their outbound, how they're doing their warm inbound, like what their funnels were looking like. That made sense to me. Went to Miami Sellers. And it's going to sound really awful, but this is the genuine truth. I went there and I was like, it's a convention of a bunch of dorks. The fact that I had made zero money and I was having fun and people were like asking me questions, I was like, oh, it's just because people have energy. And if you're like, you're just like a good networker and you're just confident, like you're probably going to go farther. And I looked around at the room and I was like, oh, the guys that are making real money, none of them are making it with Amazon. All of them are making it with info products. That makes more sense to me. I should do something with info products. That's what I thought. That's the real answer. And no one wants to hear that, like, you can make money with Amazon 100%, but the vertical integrations that it allows you to do, like you're making more money teaching people how to make 5K a month than you will making 5K a month.
Yeah. And I think that what you did really well kind of through that progression of like internet money is I just need to get introduced and then I need to understand where my like talents lie. And then I'm going to leverage those, because it feels like you just got into Amazon. Maybe it wasn't your thing, but you met a lot of people that unlocked, you know, that spirit, that energy. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So, I mean, like I was loving, like, the community was cool and I liked interacting. I liked the, like, you know, the gamifying it where it's like race to this amount of followers, or just being like, how can I be most consistent? How can I do 3 tweets a day? How can I, you know, what Discord calls can I get in? And then I was like, at a certain tier, I was like, I'm just not going to out hustle people and I got to play a different game. Spiz is probably like, you guys are probably at the same level, to be honest, where it's like, you know, like I got a day job. I got like got a life I got to do. I got kids. So like, I'm just not going to be fiending at like 2 a.m. like looking at the bolos with the boys, which is, I know, like if I wanted to do it right, that's where I'm going to make money. I'm like, I'm just not going to do that. So I just realized that if I just committed to studying content and not Amazon content, like if you want to learn how to do content, don't look at Amazon people, because Amazon people are looking at like other people, like even like real estate people, should not be looking at other real estate people, because it's like that content is boring. So the best people look at the best and figure out, how can I interpret this and make this into this niche? And realizing that I love studying that, and like it was fun to watch like 4 hours of content every day. That was where I was like, okay, sweet, I can do that. And I'm guessing the people that are trying to create are probably burned out, or they don't have perspective, or they don't have the time to do what they need to do in order to actually grow.
Let's go into that a little bit, right? So you already had your passion, right? You came up as a creative. You already had that entrepreneurial spirit that was in there. What made you kind of get into that mode where you're like, all right, this is something that I want to do? Was it innate at that point, or is it something that you had to learn? And really, you mentioned 4 hours of content. Like, was that something that you're just studying different ways that people are doing things, or is it something that kind of just came natural for you as you were going through it?
So when I started watching, like I was consuming this content the whole time. Like I was one of Alex Ramosi's first 30K subscribers. I was in it. I was really like, I was drinking the Kool-Aid. I was deep in. And I was watching a bunch of people's content, and I realized that there was one guy that was behind most of it. And his name was Ryan McGinn. This guy was like the short form content guy on TikTok, and he was doing all the content for all these major brands. And I was like, why is this guy not a big deal? And so I started watching podcasts of that guy and webinars of that guy. And all those podcasts had like 200 views. And I'm like, but this guy's the one that's getting like millions of views for all these people. Why is this guy not a big deal? And I just pretty much studied everything he did, because I was like realizing like he doesn't have a course. He's doing something that's like everybody's blowing up with, and no one's thinking or digging into like the guy behind the guy. And so I just started researching the guy behind the guy and connecting with the people behind the people. And eventually I met him in Vegas. I met him in Vegas last year. And we became friends, and I was like, oh, this guy's normal. And we, now we work together. So it's like, it's fun because that I realized like, okay, I can say who's the person that I'm looking to connect with. How can I get in the context of hanging out with them? And then I just go and I'm going to make it happen. And so that's just a skill set in of itself. And content kind of bridges the gap, because if you can, you know, if there's a way I can add value, which in his case, it was like, hey, can I shoot your content like that? I've learned so much just by being affiliated, because it's like, I don't have to spend $10,000. I don't have to do all this. You know, I can navigate my way. I'm willing to spend that money, but I can navigate that way just to learn what I need to learn.
I know you've got a kind of a funny story about leaving the 9-to-5 and like just kind of moving across the country pretty quick. Could we hit about like on what went into that, and then what the first few months of like diving in looked like?
Sure. I mean, it was, like I had a good corporate gig. It was decent. I was a project manager, an IT project manager. I was making 97. I wanted to make 110, and I was like, I was going to be patient. I was like, kind of fight for it. It was a job where I had to be in the office 2 days a week, and I hated that, bro. I hated that. Like, Spiz, did we talk about this when we got beers that one time?
Yep.
Because you were doing that same, you were on the Vanguard stuff. I don't know if you're still doing that, but like, I just couldn't stand it. So the worst part about it was that my boss was remote in Chicago, and then I had another teammate that was remote. And so, ooh, I was like, why do I gotta be here?
This is for the birds. Yeah.
Dude, I was like, what in the world? And I like when I had my kid, my second kid, they gave me like 1 week of paternity leave. And I was like, that's, like, what's the point of corporate if you're not going to get like the whole spiel? Like, you got to get the whole. So I just had that point had like grown sour with it. And I basically gave, I went through the right passages. I talked to my boss. I was like, help me get this. And I basically gave him an ultimatum, and I said, I'm moving and I want to stay. I would like to stay. I would like to stay and work this job, because of course I want a full-time gig that I know I can do fully remotely. And I know I can scale at least one business while doing it. And it just came down, and they were just like, nah, we appreciate you, but no. And I was like, peace out. Cause I was making, like, the agency was doing nothing. It was like doing 15K a month, 10K, 15K a month. And then my Amazon business was doing 40, but probably like 10% profit. So it was like, it really wasn't doing, I wasn't doing anything crazy. But it was enough to be like, okay, I feel justified in doing it and making the move. And my wife and I, for some reason, we were just like, got sick and tired. We were born and raised in the same place. We grew up like 5 minutes from each other. Then we lived like 10 minutes from our parents and grew up in the same church. And to be honest, I was just like, I've just been antsy for like 5 years. And so we kind of spun the United States globe, the country globe. And we were like, which place that doesn't have state tax do we want to move to? And it was like either Nashville or Florida. So we just decided Florida to test it. And so we moved, and we chose a bad spot of Florida, but it worked out. It's okay. What I realized though with Florida and just like the coastal stuff, like the on the coast is always really nice. You're always going to find something really nice. And then 10 minutes from the coast, it's always going to be really weird. It's not going to be good. And then 20 minutes again, it's going to be really nice. So it's like, you have like these things where it's like, if you're 20 minutes away from the coast, you're probably chilling. If you're 10 minutes away, you're probably in danger mode. You're probably going to get got. So that's just some wisdom. That's no one asked for that, but that's what we come for in the Prep Talk podcast.
So other than just like, you know, maybe moving to not the best spot, maybe impulsively picking without doing like the proper research in the area. What kind of went as you expected transitioning out of the corporate role, and then what didn't go as you expected?
Sure. Yeah. So the biggest thing that got me to transition legitimately was Dan Martell did a, have you guys ever seen those tweets where it's like, I'm looking for five people.
Oh yeah.
To join my coach, I'm looking to help five people. And it's never like they actually want to help five people. It's like, they're just trying to add scarcity and urgency. Yeah. But Dan Martell had one of those tweets. I took it. I got converted by chat. They got me on a call. I joined a call with a bunch of business owners, and I just heard people complain. And he was talking to them, and it was great. But it was a group call. It was a lot of people that were doing, you know, low seven figure businesses. And the biggest thing that stood out to me is I was listening to them, and I just heard all their problems. And I said, these problems sound cool. I like these problems. That sounds like things I want to solve. That sounds like things that I would be interested in just like focusing on full time. And I realized that unless I really committed to it, I wasn't going to get there. So that was kind of really what gave me the kick in the pants to like really legitimately put in my 2 weeks, because I was like, if I don't do this, I'm going to regret it. And I have to just jump. And so I did jump. The first, I mean, really there hasn't been a point where that hasn't been like in some level stressful, right? Like the scaling from zero to 20K a month with an agency, agency world is better than, in my opinion, reselling world. But again, like you're hearing me, and like, I was probably running like a 15%, you know, 10 legitimate net profit, but like 15%, 20% profit game. And so when you're doing that and you're not doing 100K a month, that's tough. And to do 100K a month in Amazon is really tough. But the cool part about agency stuff is that it's all service. So if you cut costs on editing, if you cut costs on team, if you cut costs on stuff, my first client in the, Corey Cannon was actually my first client. And I basically started doing his stuff for like basically free. And then I got my first like high ticket client. I charged her 7K a month, which at the time was like, that's crazy. I can't believe I'm charging her this much. Until 3 months later, when I realized it cost like $8,500 to adequately fulfill it. So that was like really funny, but I was able to build the whole team off the backbone of it. So, she was kind of like that first case study, that first, like, let's really try to get some results. And, we try to get results on one area and we missed. We try to get results on views, missed, and then ended up like really crushing conversions. So we like, I doubled her community size in like 3 months. And she had her first like $1 million monthly run rate. And so that happened. And I was like, frick yeah, that's really cool. And then I thought back to myself and I said, oh, I was charging her $7,000 and she made $1 million. So I was like, something doesn't fit here. And I didn't negotiate. Like, I was just dumb. I just didn't negotiate any rev share. Don't really do that. But I also didn't like adequately like position ourselves as like, hey, we're actually, yeah, like she agreed, like we're the driving force for this. But then when the perception is that you're worth 7K, it's like, doesn't matter that, to really scale that. So that changed my perspective on a lot of the content space. And I was able to build a lot of stuff based off of that. But going from zero to 20K felt like a ton of effort. And then I really got stuck at 20 to 30 was like, I was stuck there for the longest time. And then for the past like 3-4 months, we've been stuck at like 40-50K. And I like, we had our first like 60K cash collected month last month, which is great. But like the barrier between each gap just feels like so much. And I want to, like, the goal of, I'd like to get to probably 100K by the end of the summer. And I'd like to be in a position where we're doing some M&A stuff, like merging and acquiring some other agencies probably next year. That's really what I want to do. I don't know how realistic it is, but I'm kind of just like putting that out in the ether. I'd like to, rather than try to learn a skill like that I don't know, like email marketing, I don't know. Really like paid ads, I don't know. And so I want to do both of those things. And I probably need to acquire some 20K a month business in both of those regards in order to like really make it happen.
What's the biggest thing you've learned with making that pitch or that move from Amazon seller to content agency business owner, right? Like the big change there from moving one to the other. What were some of those fundamental shifts or things that you've had that you've really kind of matured in or starting to mature in of getting into that space?
Yeah. Well, first off, don't run a content agency. I'll say that. No one, I don't recommend it. There's better ones. SEO, like it took, again, like networking is the best thing ever because it took, I did not listen to Amazon sellers. Even though I was running the Amazon business, I didn't listen to them. I listened to like high level business owners. And so for every Amazon seller that was saying like, you know, like Miles is amazing. And he's saying like, do FBM, do all this stuff. And I was like, that's just not me. I can't do it. I'm not going to be the guy. Like I just don't have the, I don't have the margin in life to be able to fundamentally do that. And I know it works. It's not about does it work or not. I know it works. I'm just saying like for me, like the margin isn't there. So when someone else says like systems, right? Like I read Buy Back Your Time by Dan Martell, and this is before he was my mentor. And I was like, I like that thought process of like really time being the asset, and every financial decision I make, every team decision I make is not in the interest of profit. It's in the interest of buying myself more time to be able to scale and get more leverage. So I try to build my Amazon business that way, but like, dude, I'm hiring VAs and I hired like I had, you know, I probably hired like 15 over the course of it, probably found 4 good ones, like 15, but you know, you do your trial period, you know, and by the end of it, I probably had 4 consistently over that whole period of time. And it was okay. It was hard for me to run 2 businesses at the same time. And so I was trying to scale 2 businesses at the same time. There's just not enough margin for it. And so when I was able to completely focus on building the agency team, that's just been so much more fun. And to answer your question, Nick, more specifically, like actually focusing on team structure, systems, and back end so that I can focus on what I do best, because I am not good at really any of those things. Like I'm not a COO vibe. That's just not my skill set. My skill set's probably sales. Like that, I feel more comfortable in the sales, like communicative space. So that and like creative directing, I enjoy the in the moment directing. That's pretty fun. So that comes naturally to me. It comes naturally to me to like interact with someone who's a lot more successful and communicate with them as equals, because I can say, hey, do this, try this, don't do this, say it this way. And I can kind of go toe to toe with someone that has an ego, because we usually, when you're like, you have a multi 7 figs in the bank, you're usually like, I got here for a reason. But working with those people and like feeling like, okay, I can speak in the same level. And I understand the business side and I understand the creative side, and all I have to do is bridge the gap. That made sense to me. And I think if I were to run the Amazon business more effectively, I'd probably look at more really focusing on team structure, probably hiring. I probably would have hired 1 US person, probably a young kid in high school or college that I could just, you know, that I trusted, probably someone from church, like someone that I like, that I could be like, okay, I know he's a good kid. And then have them run a lot of stuff. I respected Soros. Like I don't know if Soros really was ever good at Amazon, but I respected him because he communicated about systems. And so that made sense to me and I appreciated that. And I always resonated more with the build the team versus just hustle it out. And what I found is I end up doing both. So I've built a team, but I've yet to have peace. I'm still doing the grind. Ask my wife. Like I was on till 1 a.m. last night. I woke up and started at 7 a.m. today. Like that's just the vibe. That's just where we're at.
So big family man, right? 2 kids.
Trying to. Yeah.
Walk through just briefly, what has that been like to make the full conversion over to being a business owner, having the family there with you? What does that look like on your day to day? And how do you time box certain things to have it for family time? Like what does it look like for you?
I really suck at this. I really suck at it. Genuinely. Like there's probably not a week that goes by where I'm not feeling like some level of conviction, because I was even talking to my wife about it a couple weeks ago. I had a 2-month stint where I was gone for like 2 to 3 days every week. which when you, like I was working remotely and I was like, I hate being at the office and away from my family. This is so dumb. And I'm like, instead, I'm like, no, let me travel to, you know, 10, like Nashville four times and Vegas and all these, like, I of course not. Like, that's so dumb. So I was talking to her because I had one trip recently where I went to Nashville and the shoot just didn't go well. It didn't, like, it was a conference. I just didn't get the stuff I was wanting to get. And it was one of those where it was like a last minute decision. Do I go? Do I not go? And I decided to go because I was like, hey, it's an opportunity. I'm going to try to make something happen. And I just told her, I was talking to her. I was just like, babe, what am I doing? Right? Like, why am I, the whole reason of doing this is to build something for us so that I can be more present. And I feel like all I've done really is like, I know I'm building, like, my family didn't ask me to build this business. Like, my kids didn't ask me to, they don't care. They don't, like, they didn't ask me to do this stuff. So, I've definitely had a lot of those moments where I'm like, there's a come to Jesus. I now know, like, okay, I'm not going to do 3-day trips because I know by day three, I'm just out. I'm just done. I'm just like, get me home to my kids. I love the one days where I can fly in the morning and then fly out that night. I love that. And I've made those work. For my time blocks, I try to spend dedicated time hanging out with each kid. And the issue is that sometimes that means I'm not able to spend the time with my wife that I want to, because both of us are like having to grind. So I don't want to pretend like I've mastered either of those, because I feel like that's like the biggest thing I'm trying to fix right now, is how do I continue to push the business forward and not sacrifice my peace and not sacrifice my, like, my values, which is like, I do want to be present with my kids. And I do want to be making sure that I'm taking my daughter out to breakfast consistently. I'm not missing the like toddler stage of my son that I'm like really, really enjoying where he's at. And, that especially, like, my wife doesn't feel like I'm not pursuing her. Like, I want her to feel like I'm still chasing her, and it's not like we're just committing to these years of like just being parents and hustling and grinding. Like, I know it's a season and it is crazy, like, having two kids under four, like, we're just in it, right? But like, I don't know, I just don't want to compromise about my values. And I don't want to pretend like I'm an expert in it when I don't feel like it. I definitely feel like every morning I'm like, okay, how can I do it better? And I haven't quite figured it out yet. So
yeah, I think that this sort of got real. I mean, I struggle with that too, and I don't have the kids, right? So, like, you know, when you're going through these sorts of things, it does kind of feels at times like you're just hanging on, right? Because you got so many things going on.
Yeah, dude.
And it's good. It's nice to just kind of show that side of it, because, you know, if you're working the 9-to-5 or you got kids and you have your, at one point you had two side hustles.
Yeah,
now we've got the one, but it's stressful.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I appreciate you sharing that portion.
Yeah. The whole reason we're doing this is like, it's that later play, right? It's like, we want to have the freedom right now. It's like, I mean, like, I do know people where it's like, you didn't really want freedom. You just wanted control. but theoretically, like, we want the freedom. Like, I want the freedom, and I do have freedom. Like, I can take off any day when I want. But I'm also addicted to it, because it's like, I want to grow this thing. I want to scale this thing. Like, I have my revenue numbers I want to hit, like $1 million run rate. Like, I want that, dude. That'd be awesome. I really like, I want that. And I want to figure out how to get to 8 figures. I want that. I want to figure that out. But I'm just, something I have good people in my life that are trying to remind me, like, don't lose yourself in the process. And I feel it. Like, I could definitely be that addict type. And, I'm grateful because I had a good dad. I had a really good dad that was like, when he came home from work, I never felt like he brought work to me. I feel like I always got 100% of him that he was present. And so I definitely, like, my kids, they're not going to remember a lot of this stuff, but I want to create the patterns so that when they are remembering it, and my wife especially, like, when that, I'm not just like, they're not just getting the leftover. That's the biggest part. And I think a lot of guys, a lot of dads, a lot of husbands really fail at that. And I feel myself failing at it every other day. And I'm just like, I don't want to do that. I want to be I'm one of my clients. He has this mantra, and I believe it, dude. It's, he's like, he's trying to set the standard for his family and set the standard for his life and his community. I'm like, you know, sometimes you watch those videos and it's like the Andrew Tate vibe and you're like, ah, it's kind of corny, but like every once in a while, when you're there, you're like, oh, this hits, this actually hits me. So I resonate with it.
Yeah. Well, I think one thing that, like, personally, it helps me, and maybe it helps you guys, but like continuing to push on is being surrounded by a bunch of other people that are also pushing on. So like, I mean, you being close maybe with like Jonah, like, great dad, you can just tell.
Dude.
Like,
oh yeah. Dude, he's awesome. Yeah, he's awesome,
just,
man.
Yeah. And so just you're working towards that, right? And so that keeps it going, even when the, you know, it does sometimes feel like a struggle to get by, because you can get there and the evidence is right there in front of you.
Yeah, dude. And that's the best part, is like, I do know people that made it. And to be honest, like, if I ever feel like I've made it, that's probably an issue. Like, there's always room to grow in it, but I don't have many examples of it, of people that got rich and also did it with balance, but it's like, I got to figure out what I'm going to be imbalanced in. And I haven't figured it out yet. So we're working, and I don't want to do it while also drinking alcohol. That's the other part, you know, gets to a point where it's like, it'd be easy to just pour some whiskey glasses, I'm realizing. So that's why I'm like, I gots to be careful. Got to watch myself a little bit.
Yeah. So transitioning a little bit, you have a really unique perspective on like the Amazon space as a whole, whether it be on Twitter, Instagram, whatever. What do you think is, you know, being delivered really well, and where do you think that there's opportunities?
I think a lot of people are trying to solve the same problems, and that's not super helpful. There's not a lot of new voices. There's not a lot of genuine voices. There's lots of regurgitated, I saw this person do X, so I'm going to do the same thing. Same lead magnet, same like that kind of stuff. I do think that everything's going to shift towards Jonah's kind of mode of brand direct. I think you kind of see this natural progression where people get in. RA was a thing for a long time, and RA is still going to be a thing, but like, you don't see many popular book sell guys just because no one wants to stay there forever, right? And then you don't see many, like, the OA guys are jealous of the wholesale guys. You know, the wholesale guys are jealous of the PL guys or the brand direct guys. So like that, and I say guys, I mean, there's girl killers as well. So I think, but like, it used to be like hire VAs. Then it was like get prep centers. Then it was like do wholesale. I think Jonah is probably the next mode where it's like doing brand direct really does make sense, because selling on Amazon is not going to get any easier. You're going to find a lot of people transition from saying specifically Amazon selling to just reselling, because you're going to have Walmart pop up, and Walmart's only going to become more relevant. Mm-hmm. And then people are just ignoring all these like other legitimate, like pretend like no one's dumping all of their returns to eBay, you know, like everyone's doing this stuff and no one's talking about it. So we want to, Amazon's going to be the big dog for a long time. And anyone that bitches about fees, like, who cares? Like, just, I don't like, I think, I wish there was more honesty though. Genuinely, I do wish there was more honesty in the, in capping what Amazon can be, because in my opinion, it's an amazing side hustle. One of the best side hustles, and it's not a good business to run. And I wish people were honest about that. I think wholesale distribution, good business to run. Brand direct, e-commerce brand, agency, essentially, you're positioning yourself, distributor agency, that's a good business to run. Those are legitimate businesses that require much more than I find products for cheap and I sell them for more. Arbitrage is always going to exist, but it's always going to exist as a side hustle. And usually it's not something that's worth scaling. Like, to be honest, no one should be like Dylan Sawyer putting 500K on an Amex. Like, no one should do that. It's like such an awful, like, balls, like massive balls, dude. That kid is insane. But like, no one should do that. No one should, like, that's just like, if you have that kind of capital, there's so many better ways to leverage it than doing it on flipping stuff. And so if your goal is to make maybe six figures in a year, Amazon's probably really viable, but understand that most of the people doing 1 million are probably making 100K. and the gap between the people doing six-figure businesses to doing, you know, multi-seven-figure businesses is so massive, and it's team-driven, and it's usually operationally like completely wholesale or completely brand direct, and OA and RA pitching those as like business models is going to get tougher and tougher. But it's an amazing way, better than drop shipping, better than most of these other side hustle things. It's an amazing way to make, you know, $5,000 to $10,000 a month.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with a lot of that. I think that like RAOA, it's kind of like the undergraduate, or like, you know, you're getting your education on the platform, and like the skill set of managing a VA team, you know, negotiating with like B2B. So if I'm going to negotiate with a prep center, like you can do that really safely within OA. All right. 100%. Yeah. And then we go ahead and we continue to like grasp for more leverage. So we buy a little bit more time back.
Yeah. You don't even need a VA. You don't even need a team.
You don't.
To do like, you can probably get to 70K a month comfortably, 60K a month comfortably without a team.
100%.
You probably can.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh, easily.
I did not find it easy, but you probably could. It's probably like, that's super realistic, especially if you're just a hustler. Like,
yeah,
you can totally make that happen. But right. It's just like, in my mind, the idea of doing 60K and having that turn into 6K was like, that's just like not super attractive.
Yeah.
Just for a business model. And it's like, especially when you're thinking about like, do I want to exit stuff? Do I want to do stuff? Like, there's SaaS plays that are more fun. Like Spiz, I've told you 1,000 times, dude. Like the fact that you don't have a SaaS play right now is pissing me off. You actually do. Do you have something? Do you have something you're working on?
There's something that's silently been released, so we're working on it right now.
Okay. I'm Kurt. Oh, Kurt. Yeah, I the fact that you don't do a SaaS play is that's dumb to me, because it's like, the people that are able to do that, the people able to do like, there's a reason why the best people end up doing coaching. Right? Because it's like, it's hard to scale, it's hard to build, and you can immediately double your actual take-home income by doing these vertical integrations. Not that everybody should launch an info product, but I think like, you see the smart people, and that's usually what they're doing. They have 6 or 7 different things, and when Amazon can just be a cash cow, that makes a ton of sense, and that can add value to the business. You're not going to see many people being like, there's this shoe seller that like, whenever I say this, he always like gives me heat for it, but like, it's just going to be hard to make $1 million cash doing OA on Amazon. That's going to be pretty much impossible to do $1 million yearly cash.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you'd have to create a hell of a team.
You'd have to, in the amount of risk, the amount of risk that you'd have to take on would be absolutely insane. So that's my argument. And I feel like that's like, when I say that, everyone's like, shut up. You're doing, but it's like, that's just like, you shouldn't do that. If that is your goal and you want to have a business, like take all the skill set and just do wholesale, do brand direct, do PL, because all the stuff still is beneficial. There's so many different avenues.
You're missing one thing. People don't want to pick up the phone. That's true.
That's facts. That's why I that's also my theory. That's why I think like half the Amazon community is a little autistic. That's like legitimately, I think so. Cause it's like the whole reason to do this is so that you don't have to talk to people.
Yeah. I mean, like half our podcast is. So like
that's on some spectrum, you gotta be, cause you have to be like, I want to see the numbers. I'm looking for the bolo. Like, you gotta be on it just like a tad.
Yeah.
The best ones are. So it's like, I'll die on that hill. I think it's actual facts. It's the same with any agency though. Like any agency, I found that the majority of agency owners are also autistic. So apparently that's what it takes to be successful these days, I guess.
So I want to pivot into, that's a good segue, right? So you talked a lot about folks like to hide behind the keyboard. And earlier in the podcast, you talked about the folks that are the most successful are the ones that have the ability to network. So as an agency owner, what are some of the things that you're recommending to someone that genuinely wants to get in front of the camera and starting to develop that skill set, but is either unsure of where to do it, or they have limiting beliefs and what type of benefits it can bring? Can you talk a little bit about the advice for that type of person?
Yeah, I think find your medium. Some people are good writers. And I used to be a hater if you're like, I'm just going to be on Twitter and not get in front of the camera. And then I, you know, you work with some people that probably shouldn't be on camera, or you just like interact with people and you're like, you know what? There's nothing you're going to do that's going to work on camera. Like, can you learn it? 100%. But the majority of people won't. This is coming from the personal brand guy and the build a brand guy, but like the majority of people won't be successful on it. And so figure out what your goal is from the get. And if your goal is like, I just want to document, you're going to be a winner no matter what. If your goal is, I just want to help one person every day. So if I put out a video a day and I end the year helping 365 people, I'm a winner. You're going to win. Doesn't matter. It's the frame that you're coming with. A lot of people look at who they want to be like, and they start doing stuff like that person, and it just doesn't come across as authentic, and it comes across with like a taker energy. And genuinely, those people should just like, you should hold off until it makes more sense. If you don't have authority in something, don't act like you do. I love when people talk about like their experience, because no one can take it away. No one can disprove it. So if you say like, you know, if I started making Amazon content and I said, here's, you know, the 15 ways I fucked up, right? Like that would probably perform better than me saying, these are all the things you should do when I haven't proven that I can do it. So, I prefer that. I also like storytelling. Like I like creating a narrative. I think, you can see, I've seen this done in different niches and it works out super well. Something that's working out really well. It was like 2 months ago, but you could probably still start one where it's like day one of X. That can work. It works super well in the fitness industry because people you can visibly see transformation. So I like that where it's like you're trying to document consistency, and then you're going to find that some people align with it. Some people are motivated by it. Some people are going to do it. I prefer that. At the end of the day, the reason that most people fail is because they're not consistent. And it's because you have to overcome so much imposter syndrome just to turn on the camera to begin with, that after 1 week, you're like, is this worth it? And every single person that you're jealous of, every single person that you're chasing, they turn on the camera every single week for 5 years.
True.
So it's like, and it wasn't a skill gap thing. It wasn't an inherent, like they were just better on camera. It's just like they put in reps. And to pretend like it's not like every other business and every other thing is so dumb. Like, yes, some people have like if you're attractive, you're probably going to succeed, right? Like you're like, if you look at my comments on my videos, dude, half of them are just hate comments about how I look. Like you're probably going to win more if you look good, because pretty privilege is a thing. But at the same time, like I'm thinking about, there's a guy, one of my favorite guys, Sweaty Startup, Nick Huber. That dude, and he's such a clown. And I say that in the most affectionate way. Like I love his content, because all he does is he's like, I'm trying to attract investors, and to attract investors, I'm going to piss off everybody else. And so he just makes content that pisses off everybody else, and it's perfect. And he's kind of like a dork, but it works. And he just says stuff, and it's heartfelt, and it's genuine, and he's funny, right? Like that works out better. Another, like, I think like the main thing too is also try not to be like haughty or like no one's scrolling through social media to be educated ever. Like no one's like opening up and doom scrolling and being like, I want to learn something today. Like zero people. So if you can be funny and just entertain people, like you're going to win. You're going to be fine. So that's why I'm saying like someone like Max would probably be, he'd be chilling, because that guy's, he's a clown. So he's just like, I just want to hear him say his opinions on things and see what's up. And that's always going to go so much harder than like, you know, here, let me teach you about this very tactical thing in a micro niche that five other people have also talked about. Like,
yeah,
don't do that. Be different. Be you.
What if you're not funny? Meaning like, do you recommend to your clients?
You can steal funny, dude. You can learn funny. You can learn funny. Like everybody, like look at a meme page. Follow, like spend 2 weeks following like 20 meme pages and just look at memes nonstop and then be like, how can I make this meme relevant to this? Relevant, like Chris Krant does that really well. Chris Krant, arguably scared to be in front of a camera, but he's an amazing writer. And so he's probably has the best and most powerful newsletter with the most amount of people. And he can also just put out like 20 dope memes and it's probably going to hit off. Yeah. You can copy. Like I hung out with, I talked to some content heads and people in the content agency space, or like, if you're doing what I do long enough, like you hang out with, you just become friends with like the guy that does that guy's content, you know? Mm-hmm. So I become friends with some of these people, and like when you're mastermind, we're just like hanging out in group calls, and it's like, a guy told me, he's like, yeah, we spent 25K for YouTube agency advice, like to get advice on how we can improve our YouTube, because they were stuck at 100K subs for a long time. And they were like, how do we grow? And they basically just said like, your frameworks, we're going to adapt this a little bit for your frameworks for how you structure your video, and then just go steal. And that was like 25K. And to be honest, like I've spent a ton of money just to get approval, basically to be like, hey, steal my stuff. That's basically what it was. And so it's the same as anybody else. Like if you're buying someone's course, if you're buying someone's Amazon business stuff, usually it's going to come with like leads that they buy, or the leads that they from the places that they go, and you're paying for that. You're paying for their info. So half the time it's like, look at what's working, do it.
Yeah. So the good artist copy, great artist steal adage.
Social media is not even art. It's not even like, it's not, that's such a high praise for it. Like it's not even art. It's like the stuff that works, dude, so mind numbing. Oh my gosh. Like I can work my ass off on these like really thought out videos. Really, these, we got scripts where, you know, like the amount, you would be shocked at the amount of revisions that some basic videos go through. Like I'm talking like 9 revisions where we're saying like this little detail, can we add a little more shadow on this? Like we're going crazy. And then it's the 30 second face cam where it's like, that's going to be the thing that pops like every single time. So it doesn't matter. It's like, just do it. Just like, don't, the more you can separate like yourself from action, like you're shooting yourself in the foot. So just put it out. Because there's a guy like, he lives in Tampa. His name is Christian. CB writes copy.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. He's a cool guy. I got lunch with him. He's a nice guy. He's with the client Ascension Boys, and I like those boys. They're cool. The dude pulls in numbers, like crazy numbers. And all he does is he walks and talks to his phone. And it's like, if I want to get views, I'm just going to talk about girls that are doing Pilates. It's like, that's just, the dude just pulls freaking numbers for no good reason, and he gets like millions of views every single month that agency owners would probably like beg to tout. And he's just like, nothing to do with writing copy, nothing to do with his business. He's just like, let me just make a TikTok.
Yeah, well, he's been like mentioning like Barstool and like crazy, like Forbes,
dude. He was featured on my favorite podcast. He was featured on YMH, your mom's house, and I was like, that it's crazy. So that, yeah, it really doesn't matter. That's the stuff that people want to watch, because people are on the app to be entertained, and that's more entertaining than talking about copywriting.
Well, it's interesting too, because you mentioned that, and I saw recently on your personal feed on TikTok, you got what, over 1 million views on a similar type item there.
So yeah, dude.
Any like rhyme or reason to dumb. That? Or just
consistent? It's dumb. Well, so you know what's really funny? I'll break it down. So that video got 3 million. It's so dumb.
I'm pretty sure you copied it.
What?
I'm pretty sure
you copied it. I didn't copy it. Oh, I will say that. I'll give you the whole structure of it.
Well, then someone copied the whole structure.
Someone copied me?
I saw someone else doing the same topic. Go ahead.
I don't know. So this, I will tell you what I stole, because I did steal the concept. So I was scrolling through Facebook Reels, because essentially what I do is I go through each app and I spend time on different apps. And like, I wish I could say it's like structured, but like, it's like spend some time on TikTok, spend some time on Instagram, spend some time on like, test the different algorithms, right? So I was on the Facebook for one day, and I saw it was like a 10 to 15 second reel of Chris Williamson, who's the Modern Wisdom podcast guy, talking to Mark Norman, who's a comedian. And Mark Norman said that fact. He said, women, did you know like women who kiss their wives before they go to work get less, or men who kiss their wives before they go to work get in less car accidents? And I was like, and he's like, oh, no, that's really interesting. But the reel just stops. And I saw it got a couple comments, but the reel just stopped after that. There was like no reaction. There was no broadening of it. And so I looked up the stat. I was like, okay, that's interesting. That hits on top of funnel stuff because, you know, anything in the relationship category, more likely to get shared. Anything in the gym category, anything in the health, wealth, like those are topics that everyone can resonate with because you either have it or you want it. So stuff like kids, you either have kids or you want kids, not want kids, you have kids or you are a kid. So it's like, it's like one of those, or like you have parents or you are a parent, right? Or like you have a partner or you want a partner. There's like, these are just things that like everybody has a relationship with versus like Amazon specific. That's something that's like just broad. So I made it, I did it. It was like, took me like 30 seconds to look up the stats. I looked up in one article, got my resource. And I was like, you know, here's a crazy fact you never knew. That was my hook structure. And I went through it, took 5 seconds to edit it, posted it. And every single wife in America tagged their husband. So that was like, and all of them commented. And then you find these like people hating of like, this is sexist because what about women? You have, like, you create these all whole different things where like, yeah, women suck, men suck, I hate patriarchy, I hate, like, you have all these things that are like unraveling in the comment section. Could have just as easily just gotten 200 views, right? Because like, just so happened that it chose to, that one was the one that chose to pop off. But it's funny because like, you take a concept that you know hits. I know Mark Norman talking about that, it makes it interesting. I'm just going to see if I can talk about it more, and you flesh it out, and it's turns into a really dumb reel that is going to pull crazy numbers just because you share it and it's something that is shareable. It's a topic that does relate to everybody, and most viral content, the biggest metric is shares, more than reposts, more than likes, more than saves. Those are important, those are good, more than watch time, even important and good. But think about the stuff that you usually watch. It's usually from a DM that you get of someone sending it to you and saying like, look at this funny thing. And it's usually like friends, like your gym bro sends you something, your wife sends you something, your friend sends you something. And that's usually the content. All that content usually is viral. And most of the time it's like super funny. So that went off because every woman sent that to their man and was like, you're welcome.
Well, we'll be sure to pin it and we'll give it a little bit of a tomorrow.
Thanks. Yeah, thanks. No, what's that's the dumbest thing though, is like that video, 3 million views, zero leads, right? Versus like a 50 viewed podcast and you get like 10 leads from that. That's just like, that's the economy of making money with content, where it's like the value stuff always pulls more money, but like people want the views. So if you can go viral, get views for other people, like the stuff we go viral for, it's crazy, bro. It's so dumb. The stuff that pulls numbers, it's so lame. Like, yeah, the average person watching content on TikTok or Instagram, not as smart as you think they are. So
before we wrap up, is there anything we like to end like this? Is there anything that you want to leave the audience with? Anything you've learned? Anything you want to share?
That's a big question. Who is your listener? Who's the average person listening to this?
You know, like probably someone around 5 to 10K on their Amazon store, I'd guess.
Okay. And they're probably listening while they prep. I think something that every person that's listening to this that's in that state will wish they did is document the process. And you think that no one cares about it, and that's true. No one does care. But that can be like super liberating. That can be like a really freeing thing. Yeah. Like, once you recognize that no one actually cares about you, and I'm not saying this to be like nihilistic, because there are people, like you have family, people like you and care about you, but like no one has an opinion of you that if you start existing more so online, that they're going to hate you for it. And if they are, that's just dumb. So I think more people should be willing to just say like, hey, this is what I'm doing. I'm talking through it and do the vlog style. We're living in an age where vlogs are back. Sam Sulek pulls 700K views every single day, just showing. It's like, you look at Sam Sulek, he's a gym guy, and he's just like, it's like bulk day 50 winter. And it's like, he posts that on YouTube and it's just him just working out, just talking while he works out. Pull 700K views. And it's because people resonate with him and how he talks. And there's someone out there that vibes with you. And even if you don't want to do something with content, even if your goal is not to do it, I think everyone has a responsibility to help someone that's just the step behind them. And you don't need to have cool edits. You don't need to focus on any of that crap. You can literally just use your cell phone and just be genuine. And if you approach it with the goal of like, I just want to help one person today, I'm going to go live because I want to help one person today. I'm going to post the story because I want to help one person today. I'm going to show my journey and say I had a shitty month and I'm not making money and everyone else is posting their orange bars, talking and flexing their stuff. But I'm not going to lie, my January through March was pretty grotesque and I'm really hoping for a positive Q4. Like, talk about it because that's going to help somebody else. And everyone's kind of like siloed in their own thing. And I wish every day, like, I got to get over my own imposter syndrome. Like, I wish I was documenting more. So, just do it because it's not about you. It's about connecting with more people and talking to more people. And you're going to make more money the more people you talk to.
100%. And like, I feel like way too many people, they feel like, oh, I got to hit 50K before I post. I have to do this before I post. Yeah. There is no requirement. It's made up.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, and women, dude, oh, goodness gracious. I know I'm going to challenge you. If there's a woman that listens to this podcast, please comment, please, for the love of God.
Check her.
There's like, I guarantee you there's like none, but here's the deal. Once one woman decides that she wants to document her process, she is going to make so much money, ridiculous, because we, for an info product, we buy from people we look like. And it goes even more deep. It's like, it goes down to gender, ethnicity, values, beliefs, whether you're Republican, whether you're a Christian, like all these things. If you communicate this stuff and people feel like I align on your values, they're more likely to buy from you. And there's not any women that are genuinely pumping content in this niche. And if there's one person listening to the Prep Talk podcast that's a female, like, freaking just make some YouTube videos. Just go do it. Do it for like 30 days. I told Kate this. I just got her a gig in working for Corey Ganim. But like, I told Kate, and I was like, just do it. Just exist online, post videos, go on YouTube. I guarantee you're going to pump because someone needs to do it. Like, you don't know. None of you guys, like, you guys don't know Etsy, right? You guys don't know people that sell Etsy. Do you guys know that Etsy?
Well, my shirts go through Etsy. What?
You don't? Do you sell on Etsy?
Yeah, that's where my
shirt. You're a big Etsy seller.
Are you starting beef right now?
I'm starting beef right now.
Where the rise and grind shirts are.
Yeah, I still haven't got mine. So yeah, I'm starting beef.
I know. I've been tripping on that.
But like, I didn't really even know the niche existed, but you know, my client made 8 million, 6 to 8 million last year teaching Etsy. Damn. And I guarantee you, if someone were to do that in the Amazon space, there are people that would buy from you that are begging for it. So that happens for guys, and understand who you're competing with and understanding how you can stand apart. But then like, it's a blue ocean. There's so much content to be consumed, and people just want to vibe with cool people. And once, if you're someone that's just dope to vibe with, then just exist. That's it.
100%.
That's my rant.
The Grant rant. The Grant rant. But 100%. You might not find that like right person off the rip. Do it for like 3-4 weeks. I promise you, you'll find at least one buddy. But yeah. Grant, thank you for coming on. It's been a good episode, showing some light into a space we don't normally talk about, but I appreciate the time.
Yeah. Thanks, cool. Guys. Appreciate you.
Grant. Peace.